Who is the proper minister of baptism? Hi, I'm Mike Mason. This is St. Joe Society Podcast. St. Joe Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ by growing strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to learn more about our work, you can check us out online at stjosephsociety.org. All right, gentlemen, I hope you guys are doing well. Last week, we discussed the nature and institution of baptism. This week, we're going to turn our attention to the sacramental sign, minister, and recipient of this awesome, awesome sacrament. Okay, so the sacramental sign of baptism, what am I referring to when I refer to that? The sacramental sign refers to the matter and the form of the sacraments, okay? Now, all of the sacraments of the new law are composed of matter and form, okay? For the greater number of the sacraments, the matter is itself composed of a twofold element. The sensible thing with the sacrament deals, this is called what's called the remote matter, and the actual use of which it is made of this remote matter, which is called the proximate matter. Okay, so let's take a step back here for a second. The matter is the stuff of the sacrament. So in this case, when we talk about the matter of baptism, we're going to talk about water as the matter, so it's the stuff. The form is the prayers that accompany the material. Okay, so when we talk about the sacramental sign, what is the stuff we're talking about? That's the matter. What words accompany it? It would be the form. Okay. When we talk about the matter can be distinguished between the remote matter and the proximate. Remote just means the stuff itself. The proximate is how it's used, because the stuff can be used in lots of ways. But so it needs to be specifically applied to the person. That's the proximate. Okay. So the remote matter of baptism is real natural water. So someone asks you, what's the matter of baptism? The short answer would be water. Okay. Now, you can get into, which we're not going to do because it's just an introductory thing. There are other categories of materials that can be regarded as doubtfully valid or fully invalid. Okay. So if you ever get into the weeds of the matter, they'll start asking questions like, well, in an emergency, one of the questions in history was, could you baptize someone with beer? The answer was no. Could you baptize someone with Kool-Aid? No. Because water, as a base, of course, can be the base of lots of different liquids, Gatorade, Kool-Aid, beer, things like that. So when you get into the nitty-gritty, and you guys can chase this down as you want, theologians will actually get into what things are still considered water and can be used in baptism, what can't. The reason why this is important is because there can be things in water. For example, water can have a little bit of dirt in it. Would that make it invalid to use? So what they do is they'll go through different scenarios and they'll say, well, this is perfectly valid. This is doubtful, but could be used, say, maybe in an emergency situation, or this is like fully invalid, you're not allowed to use it. Okay. So you guys can chase those down if you want. For the sake of our purposes, we're not going to get into that sort of detail. So in short, full natural water. As things normally go, we have plenty of access to water. Good to go. Okay. Proximate matter is how is it applied. Now, traditionally, there are three ways in which a sacrament can be carried out. One, by immersion. Second, by pouring. And third, by sprinkling. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, and this is in paragraph 1239, recommends either a triple immersion or a triple pouring. Okay, so traditionally, you can be immersed. I've been to Catholic churches that have baptismals that you can literally, they have steps and you can walk down into them. That's a perfectly appropriate way to be baptized. So you'll three times be immersed under the water and brought up. This is very symbolic and very beautiful because we are baptized into Christ's death. And so kind of going down in the water and coming up kind of shows going into the grave and coming up. It's a beautiful expression and really kind of captures the essence of what baptism is. You can also do pouring. That's the one when my children were baptized by pouring. When I was baptized, it was by pouring. So the person would lean their head over the baptismal and you pour the water over their head. The idea behind the pouring or the immersion is that the water should be moving over the skin. Okay. Again, you can be fully immersed. So proximate can be applied to the whole body or to the forehead, which is symbolic of kind of representative of the whole person. Also in history, there is sprinkling. As far as I understand it, sprinkling can still be considered because when you sprinkle, the water kind of runs down. So it's moving, it's on the forehead. But sometimes there are some questions on the validity of sprinkling. So for example, I was baptized a Methodist when I was in middle school and they used the method of sprinkling. When I became a Catholic at the age of 31, I was conditionally baptized by pouring. What a conditional baptism is, or really any sort of conditional sacrament, is when the priest does, he says, I conditionally baptize or I conditionally do such and such. It's conditional because there's some doubt whether it was valid. So you go ahead and administer it again. And if the first one was valid, then what you're doing doesn't have any effect. If you, and in fact, the in my case, my first baptism was invalid, then I'm fully baptized then. So if there are questions around this, priests can do conditional baptisms, okay? But generally speaking, triple immersion or a triple pouring. So remote matter, water by immersion or pouring to make it succinct. All right, what's the form? The form is in the Western, so the Western and Eastern formulas are a little bit different, but in essence, they're the same, okay, as you'll see, because I'll read both. The Western formula, you name the person. So you say, John Doe, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and as of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So notice here, you declare the name of the person you're baptizing. That's important because you're designating this is who I'm baptizing. You say, I baptize, not we, not like it's I, because the minister is designating himself as being the one doing the administering. When he says, I baptize you, the baptize part's important because we can do lots of things with water. We drink it, we bathe in it. You can use water for lots of purposes. You need to designate in this purpose, my intention is to baptize. So that's intention's important. And then you say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, because we're repeating our Lord's words in the Great Commission. And then also shows the triune nature of baptism, that our the God we love is one and three. In the Eastern formula, they'll just say the servant of God name is baptized, because there's a passive element there, but it's in essence saying the same thing, is baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay. And you can read both those formulas on our notes on the website. Again, if you guys have not been doing this, pull open those notes when you listen to these podcasts, follow along with me. You'll get a lot more out of it. We'll hardly add any time to your study. But anyways, those two formulas in essence are the same thing, just some slight differences. Okay, so that's the sacramental sign, the matter and form. Let's look now at the minister and recipient of baptism. So when you look at the ministers and recipients, we make distinctions between validity and lawful, okay? Valid means if a sacrament's administered validly, that means the sacrament is going to have its effect, okay? So anyone that administers or receives the sacrament validly, it's going to do what it does, ex opere operato, like we talked about last week. A valid, this is a little bit distinct from being lawful or licit. So the church has been given authority by Christ to administer the sacraments, right? To be, to legislate different norms around the sacraments and so on and so forth, okay? So the church has authority to govern. The church may determine what it considers to be lawful sacraments. And these laws sometimes can change over time, okay? So for sacraments, we want them to be fully valid and fully lawful, okay? And this will come up, maybe not in our course. I'll mention these things a little bit in the future. But if you get in the nitty-gritty of sacramental theology, this distinction between valid and lawful will come up again and again, okay? So if you guys do further study, just have an eye out for that. All right. For a minister of baptism to be valid, a valid baptism can be formed by any person whatsoever who has the intention of doing what the church does. Okay. Baptism is so fundamental to our salvation, we are very liberal with who can administer it. A valid baptism can be performed by anyone who has the intention of doing what the church does. The person administering it doesn't have to be a Catholic. They don't have to be a Christian. They could be an atheist. So long as they use the proper matter, the proper form, and have the intention, it is valid. Okay. That's why baptisms that are administered in, say, Protestant churches or Eastern Orthodox, or maybe by an emergency room nurse in an emergency situation, they're all valid. Okay. So I was conditionally baptized when I converted to Catholicism. My wife was not, because her baptism was by triple immersion according to the proper form. Her baptism in the Assembly of God Church was completely valid. And so she didn't, there's no sense in re-baptizing her, because you only have to be baptized once. So the validity is any person can do it. Okay. So does that mean we should just go out and start baptizing people? No. Because lawfully, by the law of the church, the following persons have a right to baptize. Solemn and ordinary baptism. This is just ordinary, run-of-the-mill. This is the rule. Bishop, priest, and deacons baptize. So all things being equal, if a person wants to be baptized, they should go to their local parish and be baptized by the bishop of the diocese, their priest, or one of their deacons. Now, private or extraordinary baptisms, and this is in the case of necessity, can be done by any human being. Okay? So if you, let's say there's a car accident and you pull over the side of the road and the person's in the accident, they're very beat up, as far as you can tell, it looks like they're close to death, but they're still conscious and there's a water bottle sitting in the car. Okay. If you ask them, have you been baptized? And they said no. And you said, would you like to be baptized? And they said yes, you could baptize them with that bottle of water, so long as you're using water. You're pouring it over the forehead three times, saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They are validly baptized. That is also lawful or licit because it's a case of necessity or a case of emergency. Okay. So notice the church gives a lot of room here for baptism because it is necessary for salvation. Okay. All right. So that's the validity and lawful. So the minister's baptism, ordinarily bishop, priest, or deacon, private and extraordinary, any human being. Okay. Now, in my notes, I make a reference to baptismal sponsors because people have questions on that. In my notes, you guys can check that out. I give the reference to the Code of Canon Law, so you can look that up. I'm not going to get into that right now, but people might have practical questions on that. Just refer to that, and I have it in the footnotes for you. All right, lastly, the recipient of baptism. Paragraph 1246 of the Catechism. Every person not yet baptized, and only such a person is able to be baptized. So as I alluded to earlier, we don't baptize people multiple times. There's no sense in being baptized multiple times. It leaves an indelible mark. We'll talk about that when we get to the effects later. But anyone who has not been baptized is eligible to be baptized. In the Catechism, paragraphs 1247 through 1249, which are referenced in my notes, but you have to look those up on your own, talks about the different conditions of adults being baptized. Again, for sake of time, I'm not going to get into that, but I did include a reference in the notes because you guys may have questions on that. It's just three short paragraphs you guys can read. And also in paragraphs 1250 to 1252, the baptism of infants. And one thing I will read from 1252 is this. The practice of infant baptism is an immemorial tradition of the church. So baptizing infants can be a little controversial, especially if you're interacting with some Protestants. This has been church history since the beginning. There is explicit testimony to this practice from the second century on, and it is quite possible that from the beginning of the apostolic preaching, when whole households received baptism, infants may also have been baptized. So there's nothing explicit in the New Testament in the first century that the infants were baptized, but it does talk about the fact that whole households were, so it's kind of implied there were children under the age of reason being baptized. In the second century, it's an open and shut case. Baptisms of infants have been used since the beginning. All right. Last thing, I'm just going to make a comment on this because we're butting up at the end of our time, give you guys a couple of food for thoughts for application, and we'll call it quits for this week. Faith and baptism. Baptism is a sacrament of faith, okay? But faith needs a community of believers, okay? So when someone is baptized into the community, it needs the community to nourish that. When you look at the promises a baptismal sponsors make, it is to help this person be welcomed into the community of faith and to grow in their faith, okay? In fact, when you show up to a baptism, They'll say, what do you ask of God's church? The response they give is, we ask faith. Okay. For all the baptized children and adults, faith must grow after baptism. For this reason, the church celebrates at the Easter Vigil the renewal of the baptismal promises. Why? Because we have to keep this seed of faith that was put in there, the sanctifying grace that was put in there, it needs to grow and be nourished. Okay. When we're talking about adults, preparation of baptism is very important because they need to profess with their own faith what's about to happen. Because baptism is a source of new life in Christ. So baptism is the sacrament of faith. Okay. Last thing, let's give an application and we'll call it quits. First application, you guys should know how to baptize in the state of an emergency. It's in the notes here, okay? Water, that's the proper matter, poured over the head or by immersion. Western formula, you name the person. John Doe, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You guys should know how to do this in case you're ever in a situation where you have to do it. This is not far-fetched. Sometimes maybe you younger guys, your wife's given birth, there's some complications, baby's born alive, but it's not looking great. You could baptize your own son or daughter in that situation, and doctors should allow you to do so. I had a friend actually had to do that. Okay, so know how to baptize state of emergency. Second, we need to work together to strengthen each other's faith, okay? The seed of faith, the sanctifying grace in the soul, we need a community of believers to do that. Hence, recommit yourself anew to the building up of the men in your community, building up of your fellow parishioners, and more specifically, your wife, if you have one, and children or siblings and parents. We need to work together to increase our faith. So, all right, that's a good rundown there. Meditate on those truths, guys. Next week, we're going to come back around and we are going to discuss the effects of baptism. But that's good enough for 1 week. Guys, have a blessed one. See you next time.